An insider's look at the National Football League. It's NFL Lunch, presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse, with Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
All right, time to feed you some football on this Woman Crush Wednesday, little NFL Lunch. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw on the other side of the glass, joining us now to talk about the Ravens weeks away, less than a month away from training camp. Rookies will be here on the 13th of July, and then the full squad gets there on the 20th. Shaking Up Sports, he's our colleague, obviously, on the Fan. He is Cordell Woodland. Cordell, what's happening?
What's going on, guys?
Same old, same old. Hoping it doesn't rain, Cordell, if you know what I'm saying. So we can be outside pickles watching. Anyway, I got shut up before I get myself in trouble here.
Don't give away the secret.
Yeah, no doubt. Ocular pat-downs, let's just put it that way. Year two of the Monken offensive scheme, tweakage in personnel, still to be determined, three starters on offensive line. What do you expect different, if anything, in regards to the way he calls plays and their mindset each Sunday, Thursday, Saturday, Wednesday, whenever they play?
Yeah, I mean, I do think there'll be changes in terms of maybe the way that it looks visibly pre-snap and stuff. You'll probably see Lamar under center more this year with Derrick Henry back there. I would imagine there'd be a huge emphasis on the play-action game with, you know, having Derrick Henry out there. Last year, the emphasis was about it being more spread. I'm curious to see if that's still the emphasis this year, assuming that you're going to get times where Likely and Andrews are on the field more than they were last year when Andrews was healthy. So I feel like we didn't get to see a lot of the new things throughout the offseason to this point, but I definitely expect to see more of that once training camp starts.
Cordell, was it you that told me that Lamar tweaked his hammy in that Kansas City game?
Yeah. At least that's what I was told.
Yeah, that's why he didn't run the ball as much.
Yeah, I mean, and I don't know exactly what play. I think I went back to look at it a couple times, and nothing visibly showed up to me when I went back and looked at it. The only thing that popped in my head was maybe it was, you know, when he had caught the pass that he kind of threw to himself,
right,
and got hit from behind, maybe that. But I didn't see anything that jumped out to me to say, oh, yeah, this is exactly where it happened.
Hey, Cordell, you know what? I was looking at, you know, the teams they play open with, Kansas City, Vegas, Dallas, and Buffalo. And when you look at their defenses, talking about the Ravens' offense, you know, points allowed, all four of them are in the top 10. You know, so last year they played Houston, Cincy, Indy, and Cleveland, and there was only one that was in the top 10. So the defenses that they're playing this year are going to be much more difficult, and Monken and his offense, they got to be ready to come out right away, because with Zach Orr, we don't know what we're going to get for sure.
Yeah, you don't. And, you know, I think the good thing for the Ravens is they seem to come out of the gates firing every year. I mean, September is usually kind of the time of year you don't want to play the Ravens. Lamar, I think, has been the AFC Offensive Player of the Month the last two Septembers. Mm. So they are really good coming out of the gates, and to start the year, you just don't know who's going to be who, you know, what things are going to look like. Some of those teams have had massive turnovers. You know, Dallas, they lost their defensive coordinator, their secondaries coach. So there's going to be some different things going on with all those teams. And no different with the Ravens. Same thing. Like you mentioned, they've got a new defensive coordinator, Zach Orr. They've had probably the biggest roster turnover than any other team in terms of players and coaches and front office personnel. I don't know if there's been a team that had more of changes in all those areas than the Ravens. So that's the thing, you know, to start the year, we go into it with all these expectations based off what we saw last year. I don't think anybody had the Lions in the NFC Championship game this past season. So it'll be a lot of surprises, and it'll take some time to really figure out who's really building off what they did last year and, you know, who's dropping back.
Now, Cordell, last year, first four games, Lamar was 78 of 104, 70% for 794 yards, four touchdowns, a pick, 220 rushing yards, and two touchdowns. Would you take that in the first four games? Is that going to be good enough to get them 3-1 like they were last year?
It could be. It depends, you know, depends on, obviously, they come out the gates with the Kansas City Chiefs, and you just have no idea how that game is going to go. You mentioned Dallas. I kind of feel like, you know, and I obviously my hate for the Cowboys is publicly known. Right. But I do kind of feel like this is maybe a year where Dallas takes a step back. I think they're in a situation where maybe they're holding on to their head coach a year too long. You've got the contract situation hanging over Dak Prescott. They essentially didn't get better this offseason because they have to kind of save their money to pay some of their guys that are already there, Michael Parsons and CeeDee Lamb and those guys. So, I some of these teams that have been good, you just don't know if they're going to be that way this year. But for the Ravens, they do have a way of finding ways to make it work. And Lamar, he showed this past year that you got to kind of look sometimes beyond the stats with him because his impact goes beyond just what the box score will say. So with Derrick Henry being there and some of these weapons maturing and going into another year, maybe Lamar's numbers and what it says in the box score won't be the end-all be-all because there will be other guys to pick up in areas that he's had to kind of carry the load in the past.
You know, Bob and I were talking earlier, Cordell, and, you know, Lamar says he wants to throw the ball more this year. Like, when we were at minicamp and what the coaches and everybody said, Lamar's basically got control of everything offensively. You know, he can change plays. He can do whatever. He's going to be running the show. So if he wants to throw more, those run-pass options and things, he can throw it if he wants to throw it. So it's going to be interesting to see how Lamar handles this.
Yeah, I mean, and that was the case last year. And, you know, he's been vocal about wanting to be more, you know, wanting to throw the ball more, really, for a while now. That's kind of been something he's been banging on the table for. And sometimes it's bitten them in the butt. You know, it's been times to where they probably should have ran the ball more. And Lamar wants to chuck it, or that's what they want to do, and vice versa. But I do think, I anticipate the Ravens being a really balanced team this year. When you bring in a brute like Derrick Henry and he's joining an offense that's already been one of the best rushing offenses that the league has seen, and you counter that with guys like Likely looking like he's in line for a breakout season, Zay Flowers looking like he's going to take another step. The hope is that Bateman will, you know, finally be able to really make an impact, and hopefully Mark Andrews can stay healthy, but they do have guys that can help them in the receiving game. So I anticipate them being balanced this year, and that should make it easy for Lamar because he can now go off of what the defense is giving him. The way that their team is situated, these defenses are going to have to pick their poison, and it'll be on Lamar to kind of figure out, all right, what are they giving me versus what are they trying to take away?
Now, Cordell, last year, the first four games, you know, the running backs like Gus 8, Dobbins 8, Hill 8 carries. The next game, Gus 10, Hill 11. Next game, Gus 10 or Gus 11, Gordon 10, then Gus 15. I can see that where it's more like Henry 13 to 19 to 20 carries per game, and the other guy maybe 3 or 4 type thing, and Lamar probably even less too. But I think Henry and Cordell, I looked up Henry's carries last year. He only had 4 games where he carried it 20 or more times. And I'm guessing that if the Ravens get ahead, you know, and they're ahead in the fourth quarter, he'll have more than 4 games of 20 or more carries.
Yeah, last year was a weird year, I think, for Derrick Henry and the Titans. Like you mentioned, I mean, as much as he did carry the ball, they split up the running back production more than they have in recent memory with him. He wasn't really on the field a lot in third down situations. You get into shotgun and stuff like that, passing situations, but he really wasn't out there for that. So this year, I do expect him to eat up those carries, like you mentioned, that Gus Edwards and maybe Justice Hill and those guys were getting last year when they were splitting carries. I would imagine that 13 to 20 range is probably the safe spot, maybe a couple times over the 20, if possible, in games that they kind of just want to put people away. But I do still think Lamar is going to get his carries. I don't think it'll be 10 plus on a regular basis, but he does so many things, you know, on passing plays and scramble drill and read option. I don't think that they completely want to take that element away. Obviously, they want Henry to be here to kind of help out in that regard, so it doesn't feel like if Lamar's not having a great rushing day, then as a team, it's kind of going to be a dud. But I do still think Lamar is going to make an impact in the rushing game.
Cordell Woodland, Shaking It Up Sports, our colleague here on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell, I know it's NFL lunch, but let's throw a little baseball in. You were in that clubhouse yesterday. Austin Hayes says, hey, nothing to see here. We're good. Then he goes over with a couple of Ks. What's your concern level right now? Not necessarily for the offense, but for the starting rotation in the midst of a five-game skid right now.
Yeah, the rotation hasn't been good. Cole Irvin, another bad outing for him last night. Just so much hard contact, man. I mean, it felt like every time he threw one to the plate, you didn't have to be looking at what's going on. You can hear what's going on. And that's kind of the problem. And look, some of it is we're in the dog days of summer now. The weather's heating up. The ball's carrying out. It was carrying for both teams yesterday. So it's not like Cole Irvin was alone in that. But, yeah, you have to be concerned in what you're seeing from the starting pitcher. They're not giving you really much length. And they're not able to contain some of these high-powered offenses that they're facing this month. And then, you know, when Povich goes out there and gives them a solid out and the offense doesn't show up. So, yeah, they don't look good right now. And I think they're facing a Guardians team that just simply is better than them today. That's okay. It's June still. But riding a five-game losing streak, I'm curious to see how some of these guys respond because Adley's never been a part of a five-game losing streak. Gunner's never been a part of this. A lot of these young guys, they haven't dealt with this. Some of the veterans, yeah, they're used to, you know, this happening. Maybe they forgot what it felt like because they've been so good the last couple of years. But I'm not panicking. Again, it's June. They're still sitting, you know, in a good spot right now. But there are obvious flaws with this team that they have to address. I don't know how soon they'll be able to do it because they have to find a dance partner. And that seems to be the difficult thing because everybody's looking for pitching these days. But hopefully Grayson can kind of stop this losing streak right now because the longer it goes on, the more the noise will start to pick up.
Great minds think alike. I said the exact same thing. Last time they had a five-game losing streak, Adley was a week away from coming up. Mm-hmm. Gunner was months away. Grayson was a year away. Westy, Kowser. So, yeah, this is foreign territory for them. But we'll see, as you said, if the G-Man, we'll call him the G-Man, gets it done. You downtown Baltimore tonight or what?
I will be.
I'll see you later, hopefully outside of Pickles.
Yes, sir.
You got it, bud. Here's Cordell Woodland, everybody. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Speaking of the Orioles, American League East report coming up next. Then your phone calls at 410-583-1057. Ravens weeks away from training camp. Orioles hours away, hopefully, for breaking a five-game losing streak.
Yankees, Boston, Toronto.
The Rays.
A closer look at the AL East. AL East. Vinny and Haney.
All right, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. American League East report on this Woman Crush Wednesday. Orioles lose last night 10-8 to the Cleveland Guardians. Jose Ramirez, three-run homer, was one of the key hits in that game. He's got two homers, five ribbies in the series. Naylor had a home run short of the cycle. Guy hit a buck 80-something going into the game. Orioles did get the bats loud and alive with the homers. McCann, Tony Taters, Kowser, Gunnar Henderson. Went deep. His first homer this year, not hitting leadoff. He doesn't have 24 leadoff homers. What's he at, 10, I believe? But out of the leadoff spot, he's hit most of his homers. And a little deeper in the lineup last night, he goes deep in more ways than one, as we've said. 1-for-11, however, were the Orioles with runners in the scoring position. The problemo was pitching. Cole Irvin, bad. He said it after the game. He sucked. I mean, he had a rough spot. He was, as Jim Hunter said, the happy place was Cleveland's happy place. It wasn't Baltimore's happy place. Brandon Hyde was running hot after the game. It's an opportunity to get a win. The bats have been quieted the last three games, and they finally bust out. Unfortunately, Cleveland just continues to bash away. So the Orioles have lost five consecutive games. Grayson Rodriguez, 8-3, 382, coming off a rough outing at Houston on Friday against Carlos Carrasco, 3-6 with a 540. So I'm guessing we might see some more crooked numbers tonight down at Oriole Park at Camden Yards. But other things were happening in the American League East last night and going on today. We'll get to the schedule in a second. Tampa taking on Seattle, and hey, the old Rays breaking out the home run sticks last night against the first place Mariners.
Ground ball going to go through the left side. Rosario scores. Here comes Siri. He's going to score. Walsh to third. Two more runs batted in for Rortvedt.
Ward Vet, that's Bally Sports Dwayne Stats. He went deep, so did Isaac Paredes, Yandy Diaz, 11-3. Rays all over Seattle. As a matter of fact, they are in action as we speak. Top of the fifth, down at the drop. Tampa leads that one. 1-0. Also, in the American League East, the Yankees went up to Citi Field or over to. How far is Flushing from the Bronx?
No, I would not very well with traffic, probably, but probably as the crow flies, not that far.
Well, how about the New York Met? Not necessarily a household name. I mean, he was going all David Wright on the Yankees last night.
High fly ball deep to left, and Verdugo goes back and takes a look, and this one's going to sail out of here. Mark Vientos homers for a second consecutive at bat.
Mark Vientos, two homers. Brandon Nimmo also went deep, and Harrison Bader probably felt good because he played for the Yankees last year. 9-7. It was puppy pants.
Yeah,
but Aaron Judge hit a grand slam, made it respectable. Soto went deep. Also, Gerrit Cole, second start back. Ouch! As he got lit up. And the Yankees, look, you look at it a couple of different ways. If New York was hot, the Orioles are probably 5-6 games out of first place right now.
Yeah.
Or if the Orioles were hot, the Orioles would probably be in first place right now. So both teams not really playing all that great. And we'll get to the standings in a second. And Toronto, how about them Blue Jays? A day after gacking a 6-2 lead, they bounce back nicely at Fenway.
Like that. That's what I mean by cheap.
This is deep. This is gone! Springer hits it out into the Red Sox bullpen, and it is 7-2.
Sportsnet on the call. Springer, George, that is, two-run shot. 9-4 was the final score as the Blue Jays break their seven-game skid. Games today, as we just talked about, Seattle is at Tampa. Trailing right now are the Mariners, 1-0. Yankees at the Met, 7-10. Toronto and Boston, again, that's 7-10. And Cleveland series finale against the Orioles coming up at 6:35. Yankees two games up on the Birds. Boston's 8.5 out, but in a nice wild card spot. Tampa now at 500. They've won 3 in a row, 7 of 10. Toronto, as we said, got off the schneid there, but they're still 15 back. 3-7 last 10 games. Cleveland, they won 7 in a row. They're 9 games up in the division. The Twinkies and Royals are still wild carding a little bit. Detroit showing a pulse. We'll get to them because they're in action right now against the Phillies. Out west, Seattle's lead been trimmed to 4.5. And all of a sudden, the Astros have won 6 in a row. They're 8-2 in their last 10. And they're only a game under 500. Watch out for them, I guess, right?
Right now, yeah.
Texas has lost 2 in a row. They'll be in Baltimore this weekend, starting tomorrow, as a matter of fact. 4-game series out in the National League East. Phillies 7.5 up on the Bravos there. Brewers are 5.5 up on the Cardinals. The Cardinals have won 4 in a row. Milwaukee's won 3 in a row. Brewers, your buddy Murph,
yeah,
doing a really good job.
I texted him the other day.
Think about it. National League Manager of the Year. Everybody thought Milwaukee was going to tank, and Council went to the Cubs. They traded Burns here to Baltimore, and there they are, 5.5 games in first place. I'd say vote in Cleveland, and your boy Murph in Milwaukee would be the front runners for Manager of the Year.
That'd be pretty cool.
I mean, what are you going to give to Rob Thompson? I mean, the Phillies were expected to be good.
Right.
And the Dodgers, come on, man.
Hider's not going to get it.
No. He won it last year.
Right.
The Orioles were expected to be good.
Yep.
I mean, that's the price of success, by the way.
No doubt.
Your team does well, and you get eliminated because of it. Dodgers, speaking of them, they are 8.5 up over the Pods in the National League West. Other games going on right now. I got some matinees happening. Vinny, you called this off the air. Braves and Cardinals got washed out last night, scheduled to play a doubleheader. Rain delay.
Yeah.
In St. Louis, we talked about Tampa 1-0 over Seattle. Phillies and Tigers are tied at a game apiece. So on MLB Network, Vierling hit a home run there for Detroit. And the Pirates and Reds, top of the second, Cincinnati, they are scoreless. Baltimore baseball tonight, 5:30. Me, Ryan Ripken, Joe LaCroix, live from Pickles, hopefully outside. Stay away. Stay in Cleveland. Stay in St. Louis, Rain. because we want to be outside mingling with our loyal listeners with BBT, brought to you by Salvo at 5:30. We'll come back, look at this Ravens schedule a little bit more. We got four games in, looking at the power. It's a powerhouse schedule on paper for the Baltimore Ravens. A lot of playoff teams from last year. I believe, Nolan, correct me if I'm wrong, once the schedule came out, third toughest or second toughest winning percentage against. But, you know, they have a franchise quarterback, those Ravens, so they're going to be up to the challenge.
Your sports information station, 105.7 The Fan.
Third and a short two. The give to Edwards, up the Mickers down. And Baltimore can take a knee, and the Ravens will go to 2-0 to begin the season.
Benny Haney, 105.7 The Fan, Woman Crush Wednesday. Favorite female artist to bang, get your request in. One more segment to go. Send a request, Plaza Sport text line at 410-583-1057. That was week two last year at Cincinnati. CBS on the call as the Ravens, as you heard, improved to 2-0. 27-24 over the Bengals. And what we're doing here, looking at the 2024 schedule and Cincinnati. And let's revisit any of the first four games, however, before we pick up where we left off as we go back to Kansas City, Vegas, Dallas, and then Buffalo.
Yeah, I've got the Ravens, Bob, sitting at that time. I've got them sitting 3-1. I think they're going to beat Kansas City. I think they're going to beat Vegas. I'm going to say they lose to Dallas, beat Buffalo. 3-1 in the first four. I think the Ravens would take 3-1 with that group of people.
No doubt. And I can't remember. We'll do our official predictions in a couple of months here. But I may have been guzzling Kool-Aid. I think I might have had them 4-0.
Yeah.
Because if they beat Kansas City, they're going to stomp the Raiders. No offense, Raiders fans. Home opener. They can easily beat the Cowboys with all the pressure on them.
I think so, too.
Buffalo, to me, well, Kansas City and Buffalo, well, Dallas. Yeah, I'll go 3-1. Let's be real here. Nolan, what did you have? You had them losing to Kansas City. Right. I know that.
I'll say 2-2 just for sake of having some differences on the show.
You let New Oriole anger roll over to the Ravens, all right?
That's a tough first four games, man. 2-2 would not be the end of the world.
Well, no, Vegas is kind of in a rebuild. Dallas is got a lot of issues, and they added nothing.
It is in Dallas, though.
Green Bay blew them out last game Dallas. And then Buffalo at home. I'm anxious to see where Buffalo stands when they come in, because I want to see the wide receivers, the offense, and, you know, how are they scoring points?
Yeah, and James Cook looks like a guy that's about to ascend to a bigger status as a running back, as it looks like they're going to be more run-heavy, apparently, the Bill. Anyway, so I'm going 3-1, Nolan 2-2, Vinny 3-1. Now we're at Cincinnati, October 6th. What do you got?
Yeah, I think they'll split with Cincy. I think Cincy's defense was not good last year at all. You know, they'll have Burrow back with, you know, they're not going to have Boyd. Do they win the game?
Who's running the ball for them?
Yeah. I'm going to say, because by then, Bob, Zach Orr, I mean, he'll have played Mahomes, Prescott, and Josh Allen. Burrow's just going to be we know what we're doing now. I'm going to say 4-1.
Nolan.
I think they lose at Cincinnati, 2-3. Still have them winning 11 games on the year. Just double-check my math, but they will start 2-3.
Who peed in your cornflakes this morning? Now, I mean, honesty is always the best quality there. 4-1. I'm with Vinny. Yeah. I think... you know, you got Hendrickson wants a new deal in Cincinnati. Safeties are young. I mean, there's still some issues there. Mixon's now in, Houston running the ball.
Right, and Dax Hill, they're going to put a corner now.
Yeah, so and Ravens beat him there last year. So I don't see that far-fetched. Yeah, 4-1, man. Where's that purple Kool-Aid? Let's guzzle some more. Washington, October 13th
here. Quarterback Jaden Daniels. You know, they're fighting the Giants for third or fourth in the NFC East. I mean, that's a game you got to win. You know, you can't have an indie thing like last year.
A guy kicking 50-yard field goals all over M&T Bank Stadium. And we had Nate Davis, however, was talking them, Washington, and Jaden Daniels is really good, and maybe McLaurin levels up. to this stud status? Is their defense stalled enough? And that Forbes kid was a disappointment for them.
Yeah.
The corner, Eckler, any juice left there? I mean, Brian Robinson's got some skills. Nate Davis was talking Washington, maybe challenging Dallas. We love Nate.
Well, then Dallas would have to come. Dallas would have to come down to Washington.
Exactly. Nolan, what do you think?
Oh, definitely. Beat the Commanders there. Yeah.
So we're getting back to 500. I tell you what, and we speak from experience, and the Ravens are 5-1 because they'll puffy pants them, I assume. Hammer time if you're new to the show. If they're 3-3 through the 13th, there are going to be a lot of Ravens fans running out.
Ooh.
And hopefully the Orioles are still playing some postseason baseball, because if they get dismissed as well, oh, man, it's going to be Mount St. Helens around here with a sports fan.
If they were 3-3, Bob, somebody got hurt. They've had some injuries.
Or they've blown leads, like they did a couple years ago.
I mean, they're playing tough teams here. I mean, if they lose to the Bills, is anyone shocked? No.
No.
If they lose to the Chiefs, is anyone shocked?
No.
No.
I mean, they're underdogs, 2.5.
Bengals, same thing. So
I would say, though, Norm, about Buffalo, you got to win that game at home.
Oh, absolutely. They lose to Washington and Vegas at home,
that's a problem.
Yeah, then we're like, oh, my God, what the hell's going on here? At Tampa, Monday night, Tampa playoff team last year, Baker Mayfield, former nemesis in Cleveland.
I got the Ravens in that one. I think the Ravens win that game.
Yeah, Ravens always play well and travel well. Fan base travels well down there to Tampa.
Oh, yeah, on a Monday night, there'll be a bunch of Ravens fans.
Beat them there a couple years ago, didn't they? If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, Bob. Monday Night Football.
Was
still there.
Was that Roquan's kind of around his debut-ish?
Might have been before that.
Okay. But it was a win nonetheless. So right now, man.
Me and Bob are drinking the Kool-Aid hard.
6-1. Man, a number one. They're probably the best record in the NFL at that point in time.
Eric's saying, keep going, guys.
Yeah, Nolan's, 4-3. And then finally, let's get to an 8-game at Cleveland.
I'm going to say lose.
Yeah, Ravens beat them there.
Without a quarterback.
They beat the Ravens in Baltimore because Watson went off in the second half and then was done for the year. All right, go ahead, Ben.
I'm gonna take Cleveland. I'm going to say Watson has got his stuff together. I mean, they don't have a bad team, and their defense plays much better at home than they do
on the road. It's like they're the 85 Bears at home.
Yeah, and on the road, they're the
81 Colts.
Yeah.
All right, what do you got, Nolan?
I'll take the Ravens in this one, but really, no way to know. I mean, a lot of questions.
Right.
Obviously, where does Nick Chubb's status at that point in the season? Is he shaking all the rust off?
Right.
You know, if they got them, say, in maybe, week one or week two, maybe I feel a little bit better about that. But who knows? I mean, who's going to be playing at that point?
Ah, man.
Watson? How's Watson? Hey,
wouldn't it be kind of cool if Huntley's the quarterback for that game? Because right now he's third string because James Winston's out there. But, boy, wouldn't that be an interesting turn of events if it's Tyler Huntley leading the Browns against his former team.
And Bob, I wouldn't be shocked if Chubb, is not really totally healthy the whole year. He had two major surgeries this past year.
And he had one in Georgia, if I'm not mistaken,
yes, he did.
Too. It's 8-8. I got 7-1 through 8 games.
I got 6-2.
What do you got, 4-4?
No, 5-3.
Yeah,
I don't even.
That's a possibility. No,
5-3. Yeah, that's right. Because you had a 3-3 after. All right, whatever. None of this means anything yet because we haven't even been to training camp, and they're going to add pass rusher, maybe another veteran safety.
If they can add Bob, they got one bullet in their gun. If you are Eric DaCosta,
Barney Fife,
right now you have one bullet. What are you adding?
Me?
Yeah.
I'm looking at someone that can get to the quarterback, personally.
I'm right there with you. What would you add, Norm? You got one bullet left. You got one guy you can go spend on. What are you going to get?
Oh, I don't today? Know. Hall of Fame right tackle, maybe. I would say, but to that point, veteran presence on the O-line. Okay. Somebody to
that makes sense
play
too.
That replace the Zeitler role. You do need veteran leadership up front.
Here we go. Maybe they get two bullets. Who knows? It's Vinny at 81057. The Fan will come back. Funhouse, Nolan McGraw, Inside Access coming up at 2. And that's Baltimore Baseball Tonight, brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts. Me, Ryan Ripken, Joe LaCroix, live from Pickles. Cordell's going to be there too. Stop by, say hello. And as I always say, don't come empty-handed.
Their experience in sports varies.
Of course, Vinny's got experience in the NFL, and I suck at electric football.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Woman Crush Wednesday. Is this Whitney Houston? There you go.
Yeah.
Chosen by the people. Final selection of the day. You've made it a good one, everybody. Tomorrow, you get to pick all the songs because it's Total Request Thursday. Then we'll get your votes at 11 o'clock, starting anyway, for Featured Artist Friday. That reveal coming up in about 24 hours. Tomorrow, we have Mike Harmon, Mike Bordick, all the surprises, because today's Wednesday, right? I'm getting myself all confused here.
Today is Wednesday, yes.
I just said Woman Crush Wednesday, didn't I?
Yeah.
Duh.
No Harmon tomorrow. Remember, he said he's following Taylor Swift.
Oh, that's right. But I'm pretty sure he was dancing next to Travis Kelce up there in wherever
probably
the hell
so.
He was.
Impressive moves. Were, yeah. London? I think London?
Yeah.
Well,
he dances like Greg Brady.
No Mike Harmon, but we do have Cade Povich joining us tomorrow. So Orioles starting pitcher will be on the show at 12:30 tomorrow.
Nice. Can he dance like Travis Kelce?
We can ask.
Yeah, we'll find out what's going on there. But anyway, some surprises. Hopefully talking about the Orioles starting a winning streak tonight against the Cleveland Guardians. Inside Access next. BBT live for Pickles. Salvo Auto Parts brings us to you. Me, Ryan Ripken, Joe LaCroix. Nolan will be back down there tomorrow. But right now, let's go to Funhouse. Come on.
Quick Draws Funhouse. The Rudeness Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
The side of the Chesapeake.
I like that Quick Draw.
105.7 The Fan.
This texter here says, hopefully Lamar is not in full control of the Ravens offense, and the responsibility is on Todd Monken. I don't think he's the field general that everyone wants him to be as far as knowing defenses and calling audibles. I just don't think that's who he is. He'll always be a reactive player with a high skill set, but needs to be directed, pointed in the right direction.
Well, I don't think any of us know, other than the coaches and the players and stuff, you know, what Lamar's capability is of that, but he's having the opportunity to do it, and he's been doing it at minicamp.
Another one here says, there's too many question marks for me to feel confident in the Ravens rattling off a bunch of wins early in the season. They will get better as the year goes on, but unless Lamar is Superman out the gate, they'll have to take their lumps.
Yeah, my concerns are O-line and pass rush that early on.
And then depth, that's other positions, yeah.
Everybody will have those issues.
No doubt.
This texter says, the Orioles offense, I think, stays hot tonight against Carrasco.
The challenge.
Your sports information station, 105.7 The Fan.
Third and a short two. The give to Edwards, up the Memphis down. And Baltimore can take a knee, and the Ravens will go to 2-0 to begin the season.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, Woman Crush Wednesday. Favorite female artist to bang, get your request in. One more segment to go. Send a request, Plaza Sport text line at 410-583-1057. That was week two last year at Cincinnati. CBS on the call as the Ravens, as you heard, improved to 2-0. 27-24 over the Bengals. And what we're doing here, looking at the 2024 schedule and Cincinnati. And let's revisit, Vinny, the first four games, however, before we pick up where we left off as we go back to Kansas City, Vegas, Dallas, and then Buffalo.
Yeah, I've got the Ravens, Bob, sitting at that time. I've got them sitting 3-1. I think they're going to beat Kansas City. I think they're going to beat Vegas. I'm going to say they lose to Dallas, beat Buffalo. 3-1 in the first four. I think the Ravens would take 3-1 with that group of people.
No doubt. And I can't remember. We'll do our official predictions in a couple of months here, but I may have been guzzling Kool-Aid. I think I might have had them 4-0.
Yeah.
Because if they beat Kansas City, they're going to stomp the Raiders. No offense, Raiders fans. Home opener. They can easily beat the Cowboys with all the pressure on them.
I think so, too.
Buffalo, to me, well, Kansas City and Buffalo, well, Dallas. Yeah, I'll go 3-1. Let's be real here. Nolan, what did you have? You had them losing to Kansas City.
I know that.
I'll say 2-2 just for sake of having some differences on the show.
You let New Oriole anger roll over to the Ravens, all right?
That's a tough first four games, man. 2-2 would not be the end of the world.
Well, Vegas is kind of in a rebuild. Dallas is got a lot of issues, and they added nothing.
It is in Dallas, though.
Green Bay blew them out last game in Dallas. And then Buffalo at home, I'm anxious to see where Buffalo stands when they come in, because I want to see the wide receivers, the offense, and, you know, how are they scoring points?
Yeah, and James Cook looks like a guy that's about to ascend to a bigger status as a running back, as it looks like they're going to be more run-heavy, apparently, the Bill. Anyway, so I'm going 3-1, Nolan 2-2, Vinny 3-1. Now we're at Cincinnati, October 6th. What do you got?
Yeah, I think they'll split with Cincy. I think Cincy's defense was not good last year at all. You know, they'll have Burrow back with, you know, they're not going to have Boyd. Do they win the game?
Who's running the ball for them?
Yeah. I'm going to say, because by then, Bob, Zach Orr, I mean, he'll have played Mahomes, Prescott, and Josh Allen. Burrow's just going to be we know what we're doing now. I'm going to say 4-1.
Nolan.
I think they lose at Cincinnati, 2-3. Still have them winning 11 games on the year. Just double check my math, but they will start 2-3.
Who peed in your cornflakes this morning? Now, I mean, honesty is always the best quality there. 4-1. I'm with Vinny. Yeah. I think you know, you got Hendrickson wants a new deal in Cincinnati. Safeties are young. I mean, there's still some issues there. Mixon's now in, Houston running the ball.
Right, and Dax Hill, they're going to put a corner now.
Yeah, so I can see. And Ravens beat them there last year, so I don't see that far-fetched. Yeah, 4-1, man. Where's that purple Kool-Aid? Let's guzzle some more. Washington, October 13th
here. Quarterback Jaden Daniels. You know, they're fighting the Giants for third or fourth in the NFC East. I mean, that's a game you got to win. You know, you can't have an indie thing like last year.
A guy kicking 50-yard field goals all over M&T Bank Stadium. And we had Nate Davis, however, was talking them, Washington, and Jaden Daniels is really good, and maybe McLaurin levels up to this stud status. Is their defense stalled enough? And that Forbes kid was a disappointment for them.
Yeah.
The corner. Eckler, any juice left there? I mean, Brian Robinson's got some skills. Nate Davis was talking Washington, maybe challenging Dallas. We love Nate.
Dallas would have to come down to Washington.
Exactly. Nolan, what do you think?
Oh, definitely. Beat the Commanders there. Yeah.
So we're getting back to 500. I tell you what, and we speak from experience, and the Ravens are 5-1 because they'll puffy pants them, I assume. Hammer time if you're new to the show. If they're 3-3 through the 13th, there's going to be a lot of Ravens fans running hot. And hopefully the Orioles are still playing some postseason baseball, because if they get dismissed as well, oh, man, it's going to be Mount St. Helens around here with a sports fan.
If they were 3-3, Bob, somebody got hurt. They've had some injuries.
Or they've blown leads, sort of like they did a couple years ago.
I mean, they're playing tough teams here. I mean, if they lose to the Bills, is anyone shocked? No.
No.
If they lose to the Chiefs, is anyone shocked?
No.
No.
I mean, they're underdogs, 2.5.
Bengals, same thing. So
I would say, though, Norm, about Buffalo, you got to win that game at home.
Oh, absolutely. They lose to Washington and Vegas at home,
that's a problem.
Yeah, then we're like, oh, my God, what the hell's going on here? At Tampa, Monday night. Tampa playoff team last year. Baker Mayfield, former nemesis in Cleveland.
I got the Ravens in that one. I think the Ravens win that game.
Yeah, Ravens always play well and travel well. Fan base travels well down there to Tampa.
Oh, yeah. On a Monday night, Raven, there'll be a bunch of Ravens fans.
Beat them there a couple years ago, didn't they? If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, but Monday Night Football.
Was that Roquan's kind of around his debut-ish?
Might have been before that.
Okay. But it was a win nonetheless. So right now, man.
Me and Bob are drinking the Kool-Aid hard.
6-1. Man, a number one. They're probably the best record in the NFL at that point in time.
Eric's saying, keep going, guys.
Yeah, Nolan's, what, 4-3? And then finally, let's get to an 8-game at Cleveland.
I'm going to say lose.
Yeah, Ravens beat them there.
Without a quarterback.
They beat the Ravens in Baltimore because Watson went off in the second half and then was done for the year. All right, go ahead, Ben.
I'm gonna take Cleveland. I'm going to say Watson has got his stuff together. I mean, they don't have a bad team, and their defense plays much better at home than they do
at home. Oh, yeah. It's like they're the 85 Bears at home.
Yeah, and on the road, they're the
81 Colts.
Yeah.
All right, what do you got, Nolan?
I'll take the Ravens in this one, but really, no way to know. I mean, a lot of questions.
Right.
Obviously, where does Nick Chubb's status at that point in the season? Is he shaking all the rust off?
Right.
You know, if they got them, say, in maybe, week one or week two, maybe I feel a little bit better about that. But who knows? I mean, who's going to be playing at that point?
Ah, man.
Watson? How's Watson?
Hey, wouldn't it be kind of cool if Huntley's the quarterback for that game? Because right now he's third string because Jameis Winston's out there. But, boy, wouldn't that be an interesting turn of events if it's Tyler Huntley leading the Browns against his former team.
And Bob, I wouldn't be shocked if Chubb, is not really totally healthy the whole year. He had two major surgeries this past year.
And he had one in Georgia, if I'm not mistaken,
yes, he did.
Too. It's been 8-8. I got 7-1 through 8 games.
Call me 6-2.
What do you got, 4-4?
No, 5-3?
Yeah.
I don't even know.
That's a possibility, no.
5-3. Yeah, that's right, because you had a 3-3 after. All right, whatever. None of this means anything yet because we haven't even been to training camp. And they're going to add pass rusher maybe, another veteran safety.
If they can add, Bob, they got one bullet in their gun. If you're Eric DaCosta.
Barney Fife.
Right now, you have one bullet. What are you adding?
Me?
Yeah.
I'm looking at someone that can get to the quarterback. Personally,
I'm right there with you. What would you add, Norm? You got one bullet left. You got one guy you can go spend on. What are you going to get?
Oh, I don't today. Know. Hall of Fame right tackle, maybe. I would say, but to that point, veteran presence on the O-line. Okay. Somebody to
that makes sense
play
too.
That replace the Zeitler role. You do need veteran leadership up front.
Here we go. Maybe they get two bullets. Who knows? It's Vinny at 81057. The Fan will come back. Funhouse, Nolan McGraw, Inside Access coming up at 2. And that's Baltimore Baseball Tonight, brought to you by Salvo Auto Parts. Me, Ryan Ripken, Joe LaCroix, live from Pickles. Cordell's going to be there too. Stop by, say hello. And as I always say, don't come empty-handed.
Their experience in sports varies.
Of course, Vinny's got experience in the NFL, and I suck at electric football.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Woman Crush Wednesday. Is this Whitney Houston? There you go.
Yeah.
Chosen by the people. Final selection of the day. You've made it a good one, everybody. Tomorrow, you get to pick all the songs because it's Total Request Thursday. Then we'll get your votes at 11 o'clock, starting anyway, for Featured Artist Friday. That reveal coming up in about 24 hours. Tomorrow, we have Mike Harmon, Mike Bordick, all the surprises because today's Wednesday, right? Get myself all confused here.
Today is Wednesday, yes.
I just said Woman Crush Wednesday, didn't I?
Yeah.
Duh.
No Harmon tomorrow. Remember, he said he's following Taylor Swift.
Oh, that's right. But, I'm pretty sure he was dancing next to Travis Kelce up there in wherever
probably
the hell
so.
He was.
Impressive they were moves. Yeah. London? I think London?
Yeah.
Well,
he dances like Greg Brady.
No Mike Harmon, but we do have Cade Povich joining us tomorrow. So Orioles starting pitcher will be on the show at 12:30 tomorrow.
Can he dance like Travis Kelce?
We can ask.
Yeah, well, I'll find out what's going on there. But anyway, some surprises. Hopefully talking about the Orioles starting a winning streak tonight against the Cleveland Guardians. Inside Access next. BBT live for Pickles. Salvo Auto Parts brings us to you. Me, Ryan Ripken, Joe LaCroix. Nolan will be back down there tomorrow. But right now, let's go to Funhouse. Come on.
Quick Draws Funhouse. The rudeness, tuneness text reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
This texter here says, hopefully Lamar is not in full control of the Ravens offense and the responsibility is on Todd Monken. I don't think he's the field general that everyone wants him to be as far as knowing defenses and calling audibles. I just don't think that's who he is. He'll always be a reactive player with a high skill set, but needs to be directed, pointed in the right direction.
Well, I don't think any of us know, other than the coaches and the players and stuff, you know, what Lamar's capability is of that. But he's having the opportunity to do it, and he's been doing it at minicamp.
Another one here says, there's too many question marks for me to feel confident in the Ravens rattling off a bunch of wins early in the season. They will get better as the year goes on, but unless Lamar is Superman out the gate, they'll have to take their lumps.
Yeah, my concerns are O-line and pass rush that early on.
And then depth, that's other positions, yeah.
Everybody will have those issues.
No doubt.
This texter says, the Orioles offense, I think, stays hot tonight against Carrasco. He's been rough as of late, but I cannot give the same confidence in the Orioles pitching staff. May have to win in a shootout.
I think Grayson will bounce back nicely. Thank you very much. He's got to give them at least six. Got to get through the sixth, hopefully get to the seventh, and then maybe generate a little more momentum moving forward there. Carrasco's pitching. Heston Kerstad's going to hit a home run tonight because I'm assuming he'll be in the lineup. Even though he had a rough at-bat with the bases loaded last night.
Bold prediction. I like it.
Yeah. Usually wrong, though. That's the problem.
This texter here talking about the Ravens matchup against the Commanders somewhat early in the year, about 5 or 6 weeks in. But he says that experience for Jaden Daniels traveling to face Baltimore, tough defense on the road in a tough environment, says that could end up being like Stroud playing in Baltimore early last year. Although that was week one, Daniels will have much more experience under his belt by that point. But rookie quarterbacks in Baltimore.
Stroud in the second half was pretty damn good. It'll be interesting to see rookie quarterback. By week six, we'll have a pretty good indication of where he is and what their team's about.
And one more here from Howard in Baltimore talking about the Orioles. Their scoring against teams in recent series. Philly dominated them 17-10 across the three games. New York 26-15 across three games. Houston, things take a turn. Astros dominate 27-13. And then so far in Cleveland series, actually very close, 13-10. But the Bats need to stay awake, keep the pace with the amount of runs the pitching staff is surrendering. Pitching help needed ASAP.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I think we all know it. Who those pitchers will be remains to be seen. But you can bet your rear end that Mike Elias is hard at work trying to make it happen. Let's not forget, the Orioles still lead the majors in runs scored and homers. They hit four more last night. And it's an Orioles team that put eight on Zach Wheeler. And remember, Luis Gil led the American League in ERA going into that start, knocked him out of the box in the second inning. So we hopefully will take advantage of Carlos Carrasco here starting at 6:35. Inside Access coming up next. BBT brought to you by Salvo Ball Auto Parts, live from Pickles, coming up at 5:30. Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato. I'm Bob Haney. Stay safe, stay healthy. We'll talk to you in the morning. For now, class dismissed. I'm empty-handed.
Their experience in sports varies.
Of course, Vinny's got experience in the NFL, and I suck at electric football.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Woman Crush Wednesday. Is this Whitney Houston? Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Chosen by the people. Final selection of the day. You've made it a good one, everybody. Tomorrow, you get to pick all the songs. Because it's Total Request Thursday. Then we'll get your votes at 11 o'clock. Starting anyway for Featured Artist Friday. That reveal coming up in about 24 hours. Tomorrow, we have Mike Harmon. Mike Bordick. All the surprises. Because today's Wednesday, right? Get myself all confused here.
Today is Wednesday, yes.
I just said Woman Crush Wednesday, didn't I?
Yeah.
Duh.
No Harmon tomorrow. Remember, he said he's following Taylor Swift.
Oh, that's right. But I'm pretty sure he was dancing next to Travis Kelce up there in wherever
probably
the hell
so.
He was.
Impressive they were moves. Yeah. London, I think London.
Yeah.
Well,
he dances like Greg Brady.
No Mike Harmon, but we do have Cade Povich joining us tomorrow. So Orioles starting pitcher will be on the show at 12:30 tomorrow.
Can he dance like Travis Kelce?
We can ask.
Yeah, we'll find out what's going on there. But anyway, some surprises. Hopefully talking about the Orioles starting a winning streak tonight against the Cleveland Guardians. Inside Access next. BBT live for Pickles. Salvo Auto Parts brings us to you. Me, Ryan Ripken, Joe LaCroix. Nolan will be back down there tomorrow. But right now, let's go to Funhouse. Come on.
Quick Draws, Funhouse. The rudeness, tuneness text reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
His side of the Chesapeake.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
This texter here says, hopefully Lamar is not in full control of the Ravens offense and the responsibility is on Todd Monken. I don't think he's the field general that everyone wants him to be as far as knowing defenses and calling audibles. I just don't think that's who he is. He'll always be a reactive player with a high skill set, but needs to be directed, pointed in the right direction.
Well, I don't think any of us know, other than the coaches and the players and stuff, you know, what Lamar's capability is of that. But he's having the opportunity to do it, and he's been doing it at minicamp.
Another one here says, there's too many question marks for me to feel confident in the Ravens rattling off a bunch of wins early in the season. They will get better as the year goes on, but unless Lamar is Superman out the gate, they'll have to take their lumps.
Yeah, my concerns are O-line and pass rush that early on.
And then depth, that's other positions, yeah.
Everybody will have those issues.
No doubt.
This texter says, the Orioles offense, I think, stays hot tonight against Carrasco. He's been rough as of late, but I cannot give the same confidence in the Orioles pitching staff. May have to win in a shootout.
I think Grayson will bounce back nicely. Thank you very much. He's got to give them at least six. Got to get through the sixth, hopefully get to the seventh, and then maybe generate a little more momentum moving forward there. Carrasco's pitching. Heston Kerstad's going to hit a home run tonight because I'm assuming he'll be in the lineup. Even though he had a rough at-bat with the bases loaded last night.
Bold prediction. I like it.
Yeah. Usually wrong, though. That's the problem.
This texter here talking about the Ravens matchup against the Commanders somewhat early in the year, about 5 or 6 weeks in. But he says that experience for Jaden Daniels traveling to face Baltimore, tough defense on the road in a tough environment, says that could end up being like Stroud playing in Baltimore early last year. Although that was week one, Daniels will have much more experience under his belt by that point. But rookie quarterbacks in Baltimore.
Stroud in the second half was pretty damn good. It'll be interesting to see rookie quarterback. By week six, we'll have a pretty good indication of where he is and what their team's about.
And one more here from Howard in Baltimore talking about the Orioles. Their scoring against teams in recent series. Philly dominated them 17-10 across the three games. New York 26-15 across three games. Houston, things take a turn. Astros dominate 27-13. And then so far in Cleveland series, actually very close, 13-10. But the Bats need to stay awake keep the pace with the amount of runs the pitching staff is surrendering. Pitching help needed ASAP.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I think we all know it. Who those pitchers will be remains to be seen. But you can bet your rear end that Mike Elias is hard at work trying to make it happen. Let's not forget, the Orioles still lead the majors in runs scored and homers. They hit four more last night. And it's an Orioles team that put eight on Zach Wheeler. And remember, Luis Gil led the American League in ERA going into that start, knocked him out of the box in the second inning. So we hopefully will take advantage of Carlos Carrasco here starting at 6:35. Inside Access coming up next. PBT brought to you by Salvable Auto Parts, live from Pickles, coming up at 5:30. Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato. I'm Bob Haney. Stay safe, stay healthy. We'll talk to you in the morning. For now, class dismissed.